Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
This morning we're going to talk about ways we can connect with God. And I don't have a text up there because we're going to visit a few different passages this morning. But if you want to get a head start, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We are in the middle of a series entitled A Healthy You. And so we're looking at how Scripture speaks to our health, not only just our physical health, but our holistic health, our body, our soul, and mind. And what I've learned through Scripture, but even more so in just living life, is that they are interrelated. Okay? How we feel health-wise affects our spiritual life. It also affects our emotional health. Okay? How we feel spiritually affects the other two, and how we feel emotionally definitely affects our spiritual life, our spiritual health, and our physical health. If I was to focus on one of them, probably I'd really focus on the physical health, which we really talked about last week, because I find that how we feel physically affects us very just directly how we feel emotionally, and I believe it also impacts our spiritual life as well, okay, more than we realize. So we've looked at those different things. We've talked about in Matthew, God instructs us to take His yoke upon us. Okay, and the yoke was just His teachings, His truth, how He modeled life for us. If we take His yoke upon us, it'll make the load of life easier, lighter, more productive. Okay, and so we talked about that. A yoke is intended to make our work lighter. Also, we talked about seeking first God's kingdom and keeping our priorities in the right order, okay, keeping them straight. When we have the main priorities first in our life, then some of the other things fill in the gaps around that. We'll talk more about that a little bit later here too. Last week, we talked about keeping this physical body healthy and how we can honor God in the process. So this morning, I want us to look more at our spiritual health. How can we keep our spirit and our soul healthy with God? And I'm going to tell the message, ways we can connect with God. I referred to that earlier, that I think many times we think that the only place that we can connect with God maybe is in church. Yeah. But there's nothing farther from the truth. In fact, I believe a lot of the Psalms written by David were probably maybe written out in a pasture someplace, or on a hillside. Maybe they were in the temple of God, but they were in different places. And I believe that if we're really going to be successful, have spiritual health, and walk with God and connect with God, it's going to happen outside these church walls. It needs to happen here, because we're gathered together here, we're worshiping, so it's going to happen here. But it needs to also happen outside these church walls, out in our daily life, in just in our homes, where we're at work. God wants to connect with us. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. And the differences between religion and probably relationship, okay? To me, they are not synonymous, okay? Religion, to me, speaks of rules, and that if I do these things, then I'm okay with God. And you all know people that follow religion in their lives. They maybe go to church on Sunday, but it doesn't impact their life throughout the week, okay? It doesn't affect what they do, what they think. It doesn't affect any of that. It's a matter of a checklist. I fulfilled what the church has asked me to do, and according to them, I'm okay with God, and they go on with their life. Religion is over here, and the rest of their life is over here. But that's not what Scripture talks about. Scripture talks about a relationship where we invite Christ into our life, and we begin on a journey, and they are interwoven. How our relationship unfolds affects what we do throughout the week. It affects 24/7. God is with us. It's a relationship that we carry on with God. And so how can we connect with God? And through our relationship with Jesus, we are transformed, we grow, we mature, we reap the benefits in an ongoing relationship with Him. Tessa read some of the benefits of walking in a relationship with God, right? He heals all our diseases. He gives us peace, joy, self-control, kindness. You recognizing those? Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So what is involved in having a relationship with God? I want us to look at it at a very basic level, how we can connect with God, how we can have fellowship with Him. And so to answer those questions, I'm going to take us to several passages. I want us to look at God's Word. First of all, we're going to be in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. Paul here is writing to a young pastor named Timothy, and he's talking about the Word of God. And he says that all Scripture is God-breathed, or another word we use there is inspired. But it means that God spoke through people like you and me and led them to write down what we now call the Bible. Okay? And He led and directed them by the Holy Spirit. It says that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote down what God told them to write down. It is God-breathed, and so when we look at Scripture, we just don't see it as the writings of man or some spiritual leader. We look at it as the Word of God, that it was His Word that He spoke through human people. Okay? And they wrote that down. And it's to be our rule for godly living, for teaching and correcting. And so he says it is useful for teaching, okay, kind of what we're doing here today, for rebuking. Rebuking is kind of a strong correction, all right? We don't use that word a ton nowadays. Correcting, maybe a softer form of discipline. Training in righteousness. It trains us how to be prepared, how to live a godly life. Training. So that the man or woman of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So by reading God's Word, we become equipped to know how to deal with life, how to grow, how to mature, how to minister to other people and have a solid foundation. It is God's inspired Word. It contains all that. We find out who God is, what His character is like, how He interacts with mankind. We learn what God expects of us. And what we can expect of God. We learn about His promises, that He loves us, He cares for us, that He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. So as we get into God's Word, we learn about Him, who He is, and His love for us. Now Psalms 119, it's one of the longest psalms in the book of Psalms. Okay? And every verse, like 150 verses, every verse refers to God's Word. Now, it doesn't say God's Word. It may say your precepts, your law, your words, okay? But every verse talks about that. And some of these I know you know. Verse 105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. All right? Now, that's something we can understand. Back in biblical times, they didn't have the paved roads and the highways like we do. They did have paths and they did have roads. But at night, they didn't have the street lights, okay? And so a lamp was very, if you were going to walk down the path, it was pretty important because to get off the path meant you could fall into a ditch, a hole, sprain your ankle. In some places there, the terrain is pretty rugged. You could probably fall quite a ways. And so the lamp helped you so that you didn't step into a hole. Okay, right where your feet were stepping. But it also gave light to where you were going, the direction and the course you're going. Now you take that and apply it to your own life. That God's Word is to help us in the day-to-day as we walk out our salvation. To avoid the holes and the pits of life, all right? But also to shine ahead so that we kind of have a purpose for our life and direction for our life. It is there to help spare us from making wrong decisions and wrong choices and to keep us from some really devastating with things within our own life. If we can see God's Word as that lamp to our light, it can help us. It says in verse 9 of that same chapter, it says, how can a young man, or let's put a young woman there, how can they keep their way pure? By living according to your Word, right? And so we must get God's Word into our heart and our mind. That's how we can connect with God. If you want to say, hey, you know what, I wish I knew who God was and What does God expect of me? And right here. Whether you go to the Gospels or even go to the Old Testament and just see how God interacted with people, how God placed His Spirit upon them, we learn about God and how He interacts with people through His Word. And so the first point there in your bulletins there is daily read God's Word. Daily read God's Word. And I've followed all different disciplines within my own life. And I think I'm kind of to the place where what seems to work best is just to make it a daily habit, okay? Just like you brush your teeth in the morning, right? Hopefully you brush your teeth. How many brush? Okay. Brush your teeth before you came, okay? All right? You just wake up, you just do it, right? Now, it doesn't make you any more spiritual because you brush your teeth, but people will probably talk to you a little bit longer because you brush your teeth, okay? And you have a better smile and nice teeth because of that. And you probably, you know, you have your three meals a day, right? And then there's certain things that we just do every day. They become a habit. And I think that reading God's Word, the more we make it a habit within our lives, something that we just do because it's part of our life, day after day, the better off we are because it's going to be a consistent part of our life. And so to read the Bible on a daily basis, I'm going to go into a little bit more of that. So to do that, we first of all need to get our own Bible, okay? Now, for some of you that walked with the Lord a long time, you have your own Bible. You maybe have 3, 4, 5 of them. But get a Bible, and I'm going to give you some descriptions. Get one that has a good translation, okay? NIV is a good translation. It's been around a long time, and it'll probably be there for a while. But there's been some really good other translations that have come out. Tessa read from the English Standard Version, very good version. Some other versions that have been very good. I got a bunch of Bibles up here. Is the CEV, Contemporary English Version, very good version. It's very accurate, but it also is, some of the newer translations have done a little bit better job of translating phrases and word pictures that older translations took very literally. Okay? And in the American language, we say things we use words that don't mean at all what they're supposed to mean. And phrases, right? Ooh, that's bad. Okay, now that could mean that the fruit is rotten. Okay? Typically that's what it has referred to in the past, or that something's broken. But it could also mean that something's hip, or it's contemporary, it's cool, right? And so the Hebrew and the Greek had those same forms of word pictures and figurative language. And, you know, so what makes it hard for people to learn English is that they learn the English language, and they learn what words mean, and then they hear us talk and think, what are they saying? Right? Because we use phrases, right, Elvira? Yes. She knows from experience. We use phrases that don't mean anything what they're supposed to mean, okay? Because we've added additional meanings to our words. And so the newer translations really try to key in on some of that. So the CEV does that, the New Living Translation. I know Gary Boyer has the New Living Translation. He has a nice study Bible. If you want a good Bible to really look at, his is a good one. I encourage people to go to a Bible bookstore and just look at all their Bibles and find one that has a big enough font for you, okay? Plan ahead, okay? If you're 40, kind of just plan ahead, okay? The bigger, the better, all right? If you're a teenager, you can get by with that small print, okay? Your eyes adjust, and the older you get, things change, okay? But get one that is comfortable to read. You can look at it and read it, and it's good, okay? Have a lot of white space. I don't know if you think about that, but books that are easy to read usually typically have a lot of white space. Spacing between the words, the letters, between the sentences, it's just easier to read. It's easier on our eyes. So find a Bible that is comfortable to read. And then, this is just really aesthetics parts, but find a color you like. Make it, you know, whether you like black, you know, kind of traditional, or you like brown, or maybe you like pink, okay? All right, pink's real common. You like the maroon color? Find a color. Camouflage, if you want camouflage. I don't care. I don't think God cares. You know, find one that, a color that goes with you. You like it. You can even get Bibles out there that have the the colors of your favorite sports teams. I mean, how much more contemporary can you get than that? You know, and that might be a big hit with kids and teenagers. They got their favorite team. You can find a Bible. And the key to all this is that if you like your Bible, how it reads, how it looks, there's a real good chance that you're going to actually read it and have it with you and take ownership of it. You know, and then there's the electronic versions. Tessa, I'm using you a lot as an example this morning, but you read off of your phone, didn't you? Okay, and those are great. It goes with you wherever your phone goes, and those are a great thing. I still like to have a copy of God's Word in physical form. Okay, I still like that. But there's a lot of applications that way. Okay, so get one that fits you. Get the best Bible that your money can afford, and there's a good chance that you're going to read it a lot more. So get your own Bible. All right, and there, you can look at these here. I got all different translations there. I even have one. This one even has 8 translations. Okay? It has the King James, Living, Modern, Phillips Modern, The Message, Today's English. So, and that's kind of nice for studying. You can kind of read them in the different translations, and it's kind of informative. Number 2, read it. You get it, and then you read it. Okay? We're going real basic here, folks. But how many own Bibles, and they sit on the shelf, and you don't read it, okay? That's why we're covering this. Read it, all right? Make it a daily habit. Brushing your teeth, taking that shower, eating your 3 meals a day. Now, just because you read your Bible just doesn't make you more holy, okay? You don't check it off the list and say, man, I'm right with God. Chuck, I know that just blew it for you, but it because that gets into what's called legalism, okay? And that's what the Pharisees in the Gospels were really, Jesus was really hard on them. Because they dressed right, they did all these things. They went to church, they read their Bible, they gave, okay? They did all the things that they checked off the list, okay? But it didn't get into their heart and into their mind. And on the inside that they were evil because it wasn't part of their life. They thought, you know what, if I just do these things, satisfy what God expects of me, then I'm okay with God. And it never got, it never got into their heart and their soul. They never applied it. All right? So read it. Make it a habit, but don't make it legalism. You can know you're getting into legalism if it makes you feel self-righteous, okay? All right? So if it makes you feel self-righteous, you know that you're headed down the wrong path. Leah, if he needs counseling today, you just let me know, all right? All right. The key is to open up your Bible, read it. Through it, you're going to understand God better. You're going to know His plans that He has for you, what He expects of you. You're going to learn about God. And you know what? Even find a reading program that works for you. There's a lot of different ways. You can start at the beginning and read from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Do one chapter a day, 3 chapters a day. I think if you want to read it through in a year, you need to go right in that 3 to 4 chapters a day, and you will completely read through the Bible in a year. There's actually Bibles that are a yearly Bible, so you can just read through it in a year and do that. Or you can get, like, this is just a reading plan, okay? If you have an electronic version, you have the YouVersion on your phone, it'll actually say, I want to set up on reading the Bible. They have all sorts of different reading plans there, one for men, one for women, read through in a year. I mean, there's so many variety of plans out there. Just get one that works for you, that you like, and that's going to work for you and get you into God's Word, okay? Am I making that clear? Okay, all right. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but all right. Get your own Bible, read it, study it, okay? Study Sunday morning, small groups, use study tools. Now, the nice thing about a study Bible, my Bible here doesn't have a ton of study notes. It does have the cross references in the middle, okay? What that is going to do is it's going to allow you to find other phrases that are similar to the one that you've just read. God so loved the world. So it's going to take me to another passage where it talks about God loving the world. That's called cross references. All right. Now you get one like Gary has. His is a study Bible. And so it has like little commentary and study notes that go with each verse and each phrase. And it kind of gives you maybe background and helps you understand some of the things that you would have no way of knowing. But it's going to help you to apply and to shed some light on and say, oh man, that's what he was saying. Okay. Because some of the illustrations Jesus used back in his day have changed a little bit in our culture. Okay, we don't do the things the same way that they did back then. So it helps you understand some of those things. So, study it. Study God's Word. It's going to bring new depth and application. Not only can you understand God's Word, but now you can say, you know what, now it helps me apply what I've learned. You know, if you want, any, if you're in English class and you just want to read a book and say, you know what, I've read it, and maybe I understand it, that's great. Okay, it's probably not going to change your life. But it would be a crime for somebody to read God's Word, and people do, folks, all the time. They know this as a literature book, but it never impacts their life. And that, to me, is a shame, because it never gets past here, never gets down to their heart. Apply it, study it. The fourth one is to memorize it. Through memorizing it, I believe it allows us to meditate, to think on it. We can be at work. We can be doing errands. We can be driving down the road, and we have God's Word with us. And all, you know, God can just bring those passages back to memory. And we can think about, and all of a sudden, things happen in life. And all of a sudden, God will take that passage that we've put to memory, and all of a sudden, boom, He applies it to our life. And we say, wow, I never thought about it that way. And it adds a new depth to our life. You know, key passages like Psalms 23. What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Psalms 100. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. There's just some key passages. Psalms 95, 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my rock, my God, in Him I'll trust. Those are some key passages. And as you see key passages that really speak to you, go the extra mile and just to put them to memory and get them in your heart and soul. Memorize them. And if you've walked with the Lord a little bit, you know what? You've read through the Bible maybe several times, and I'd encourage you to get a different translation. Try something to add a little variety and spice, okay? And mix it up a little bit. Kind of like a marriage. You've been married for a while. You find ways to kind of spice it up a little bit. Do that in your Bible reading, okay? All right? Make it come alive for you. Read God's Word daily. Secondly, is to pray daily. That is one of the ways that we connect with God. We connect with God through His Word, okay? But secondly, prayer is the other big thing, right? That's the other big pillar and spoke, is to pray. Now, in Luke, I'm sorry I'm being so basic here this morning, but how many know we're supposed to pray? Okay? How many took time to pray before you came this morning? Don't raise your hand, okay? All right? We know we're supposed to do those things, but we've failed, I believe, to merely implement those things into our daily life. And if we want to connect with God, if we want to have a relationship with God, we have to connect with God on a daily basis. If a husband and wife get married and they never see each other, they never write to each other, they never talk, which would be prayer, they never talk to each other, I can guarantee you they may be still married, but they're not going to have much of a relationship. Because there's no communication. There's no fellowship. There's no sharing of thoughts, of affection, ideas, and plans. Because they're not spending any time together. Now, in Luke chapter 5, 15 through 16, this takes place in the middle of Jesus' ministry. His ministry years would be comprised in 3.5 years. Very short period of time when you really think about. And so most of the Gospels focus on all your four Gospels, they mainly focus on that 3.5 year period of time. They talk maybe a little bit about His birth and the crucifixion, but it's mainly focused on the 3.5 years of His life. And this talks about once His ministry had kind of taken off, He's doing some miracles, people are healed, He's teaching them. And once the miracles began taking place, life got pretty busy for Jesus, okay? Because people wanted to get healed. They were coming from all over. Long lines of people wanting to be healed and to hear what Jesus had to say. So this takes place. Luke 5, 15 through 16, it says, yet the news spread about Him all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear Him, hundreds, thousands, to be healed of their sicknesses. But verse 16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and he prayed. Busy, busy, busy. But Jesus took time to get alone with God the Father and pray. Now, Jesus was the Son of God. Why did he have to pray to God the Father? You ever think about that? Well, for one thing, he was human, okay? And I know that theologically he was God and he was man. He was both at the same time. In order for him to be man, he had to set aside his God thing, okay? He was still God. He didn't cease to exist to be God, but he had to be subject to the limitations of being a man, okay? He got tired. He probably got sick. He knew what weariness was. He knew what pain was, okay? The Son of God subjected himself to a human body and to human limitations. And thus he had to also have fellowship with God in the same way that we do, through prayer and through fellowship and through reading God's Word. And so if he was going to be carrying out the ministry that God had called him to do, he realized it's important that he withdrew and have fellowship with God the Father. It wasn't just for communication. I believe it was for strength, for encouragement. The busy schedule was draining him. It was tiring. And I believe those times were refreshing for him. Saying, God, why did you send me down to this place? He did pray that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? After he had communion with the disciples, he went to the garden. He says, God, if you can spare me from this moment that is about to come upon me, do it. His pain and his suffering, the limitations he felt were just like you and I. And what got him through that process was that he had communication and fellowship with God through his word and through prayer. And I believe that if Jesus had to pray, where does that put us? We probably need to pray twice as much, huh? All right? I believe he modeled for us, but also it was up to him to also remain in connection with the Father and to pray. So it is in prayer we find a couple things. It is in prayer that we have, first of all, fellowship with God. We have fellowship with God through prayer. You got him up there, all right? It is through that time that we have fellowship. We communicate with God. And Jesus, he liked fellowship. You ever pick that up in the Gospels? He liked sitting around a table, having a meal, just like some of you, right? And talking and fellowship. He enjoyed that. You know what? He still wants to do that with you. Yes, he's up in heaven and we're down here. But it is in prayer that we have fellowship with God. It's maybe in praise and worship as we sing songs that we have fellowship with God and spend time in his presence. He's not here physically, but he is here in spirit. Secondly, we share our requests with God. Now, that's not the best thing to do, you know, to come before God and say, God, I need this, 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 and pray for this. But we need to follow kind of Psalms 100, to come into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Begin with praise and worship. And then move into that time of saying, God, these are some of the things that are heavy upon my heart. Be with Aunt Margaret. Touch her back. All right? And be with my kids today as they go to school. And be with my wife or my husband and be with them at work today. We begin to go through the things that God has placed upon our heart. Some of them are for our needs. Some of those are intercession or prayers for other people. But we communicate with God and we share what's on our heart. Thirdly is then that we hear from God. Prayer is more than one-way communication. All right? It's more than you just bringing your request to God and telling God what he needs to do. Okay? I know none of you ever do that. But it's more than one-way communication. And I think some of the most beautiful times of prayer is when we've kind of said, God, that's all I have. And God says, okay, now I get to speak. And then he begins to share with us. It may be times of correction or maturity where he says, I want you, you know, you read that passage. This is where I want you to be. It may be some of that, but it also may be, he may be reminding you of his promises. That in this trial that he is walking with you and his presence is with you. Or he may be reminding you of his love, his presence. I don't know. But that's where we hear from God. And that takes a little time. So allow some time to do that. Now, I don't know how much you need to pray. If I tell you an hour or half an hour or 10 minutes, then that kind of gets into legalism. And you're going to say, you know what, I prayed my 30 minutes, that's all I needed to do, and I can check it off my list. Okay? And we don't do that in our earthly relationships, do we? We pray, we fellowship as much as the time calls for. Now, what I do, to be effective, I believe we need to be intentional about blocking off time daily where we can spend with God. Morning, evening, lunch, I don't care. I don't think God cares. All right? But I believe you have to block it off. In fact, we have to do that in our earthly relationships too, right? Because life can get kind of busy and hectic. Okay? If I want to take my wife out on a date, I have to make sure her schedule's open and mine's open, okay? All right? It's going to be much easier once the kids are gone. Yeah, just be much easier. No pressure, Daniel. Okay? But you have to be intentional about it. You have to schedule some time. And we make time for some of the relationships that are important within our life. And what I've learned is, Jill, I'm going to use your cup so don't drink. Oh, it's empty. All right. Okay. If I was to take this cup, we only have so much. Okay, this resembles a day. Okay, this is a day. Okay, we can only put so much in that cup every day, right? And what happens is that many times we fill our daily cup with things that have nothing to do with what's important. Okay, but we get phone calls. You know, somebody shows up at the front door and they need this, and we got the emails to respond to, and people's Facebook requests, and I haven't been on Facebook today, and so we go through and catch up with everybody, and Twitter, and before we know it, we get to the end of the day, and our cup is full, but you know what, we haven't put anything in there that was important that we needed to get done. You ever been there? And so what we have to do is we have to be intentional, and what I have found is that if you put in the big priorities first, put them into the cup. Be intentional. Block them off. Get them done. Now, you'll still have time to get most of the other things that need to happen in the day. And they'll fill around those big priorities. But if we wait till our cup is all full and then say, you know what, I'm going to pack something in at the end of the day, it's kind of like, man, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. All I think about is getting my head on the pillow and getting to sleep. Right? The things that are important, make time for. Get them in first. And then allow the life to fill in around it. And I think you're going to have room. You'll find out, you know what, some of the things that don't fit, they probably didn't matter in the first place. But the things that are important, make them important by how you spend your time. All right. Pray daily. And we could spend a whole message on prayer. All I can say is that the more intentional that you make it, the more daily you make it, the more consistent it will be in your life. It's not about a legalism. It is about making it something that we do, all right? More than just something that we talk about. All right. Thirdly, practice a weekly Sabbath, okay? Practice a weekly Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, they took the Sabbath thing pretty seriously. In fact, if you were walking your donkey on a Sabbath day or working, plowing in your field, they'd take you out and stone you, okay? Pretty serious, wasn't it? Pretty serious. And in the New Testament, the believers then began to shift from the Sabbath was what day of the week? Saturday. All right. And then once Jesus came, he died on the cross, he was resurrected on Sunday. Then the believers began to gather on Sundays, and that became their day of worship, the day that they got together and they fellowshipped. And for all practical purposes, that has become our Sabbath day. And you know what? Paul even talks about that, you know, there's really no day that is really sacred, okay? And for some people, they think, man, Sunday's not sacred. Well, it has been in our culture anyway. It has been set aside as a day for worship. So I say, hey, you know, take advantage of that as much as possible. What I would like to say is that we should all have a Sabbath day, okay? If you have to work on Sunday, then find another day. You have to have a day off. You should. Okay, at least one day. A lot of us get 2 days off. We work five, and some work six. But you need to have a day where you can take a break, you can unplug, you can unwind for your body, your soul, and your mind. And see what Jesus brought out. He said, you know what? The Sabbath day isn't for God. Okay? It doesn't make God feel any better if you observed the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was for mankind. It's for you. It's for me. It's not for God. But God wanted to get people in the pattern and to understand the importance of a Sabbath, that we were made and created to take a break. He created on 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And God's wired you that, yeah, work as hard as you want, 5, 6 days of a week, but somehow unplug on that seventh day, whatever day that is. Take a break. Go out and do some things you enjoy. Spend some time in God's Word. Spend some time in prayer. Kick up your feet, and you're not being lazy because you do that. Okay? Some of you are growing up in these German and Scandinavian cultures like I did, you know, it's kind of like, ooh, you're sinful if you, you know, if you take a kick up your feet and relax on that one day a week. Right? Okay? It's not the case. Take a break. Not only will it bless your spiritual life, it'll affect your physical and your emotional health as well. God knows how we were made and created. It's for you. It's not for him. Now, it'll bless your spiritual life in the process, but practice a Sabbath day and take a break. There again, the Pharisees got into the legalism part of it, and I have a feeling that they got around it to the best of their ability. But really, they took the Sabbath day, but I don't think it impacted their spiritual life like it was supposed to. They weren't understanding the importance of it and why God put it in place. All right, number four. I need to wrap this up here. Huh? Plan special retreats. And this one may be over the top for you a little bit. But plan a special retreat. I don't know, once a year, once a month may maybe be too much for some of us. But plan a special retreat, an afternoon, a day where you could maybe just get away, spend some time with God. And you know, you got kids, that might be a little bit harder. Some of you don't have kids anymore. Some of you aren't to that stage in life. But take an afternoon, go out to the beach, okay, in Nebraska, wherever that is. All right? Go out into the woods. We got that, okay? Prairie. Spend some time with God. Enjoying what he's created and letting God speak to you. We have camps for the young people, and we have retreats for the men and the women that our district hosts. Those are wonderful times to get away from our daily activity and for God to speak with us. And we get away from the distractions and sometimes our regular life and the TV and all that. And we have good speakers and time of prayer. Those are some good times. That's a retreat where we can spend some special time with God, where God can speak to us and we can connect with God. And some of the most spiritual moments in my life have come at a family camp or a minister's retreat where God has really spoken to me and touched my life. Plan some special retreats, whether it's on your own or part of a group. Whether you're a new believer, you've been walking with the Lord a long time, those can be some beautiful times where we can spend with God. Jesus says spending time with God the Father was not an option, but he withdrew to lonely places to connect with God. It was a necessity for him to be refreshed and balanced, to be free of temptation, to be in tune with God the Father. You know what? It is the same for us. If we want to live a victorious Christian life, we want to have good spiritual health, we have to put some of these disciplines in place, these habits in place, whatever you want to call them, to maintain that fellowship with God, to connect with him. It's not hard to connect with God. All you have to do is just pray. Okay? Not that hard. It's not mystical. All right? No secret formula. It's pretty easy. Open up God's Word and read. In fact, if you just find an afternoon, an hour or two, like you have your good book or novel, and just read God's Word. Read until I've read enough. And go on with some other things. But enjoy that fellowship and time with God. Have the musicians come. Jesus said in Matthew 11, we've talked about this, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest and learn from me. Learn my ways of dealing with life, with stress, with fatigue, temptation, and I will make your load lighter." And this is one of the ways that God, I believe, wants to make our load lighter, by connecting with Him through prayer, reading His Word, and spending time with Him. And what I find is that instead of learning from Jesus many times, we try our own way. We only find ourselves more exhausted, tired, burned out, depressed, anxious, disillusioned. But as we spend time with God, and spend time in His Word, and those are some beautiful times where we just open up God's Word and all of a sudden God just speaks to us. It's kind of like, wow, I never seen that passage before. Man, I've read it, but it's never ministered to me like that. You had those moments? Yeah. Or you've been in time of prayer and maybe some of the days are just kind of normal. All of a sudden, one day God just shows up in a whole new dimension in our life and speaks to us. What I do know is that Jesus said that He is the vine and we are the branches. And Jesus said, if you are connected to Me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do zippo. And so connecting with God is so basic, it's so elementary, but also so vital to the Christian walk. Not only for your life, but also for those around you. You may know people that are, maybe they're going to church, maybe they have a sense of religion, but they just don't know God. So that's, you can be a blessing to them. But my main focus this morning is, are we connected with God? Whether we just started off walking with God or we've walked with Him a long time, I don't care. What's this past week look like for you? Has there been that fellowship? Has there been that communication? Would you stand this morning? We're going to talk, we're going to sing close to the song called Breathe. It just talks about how God is that source of our spiritual life. Will you just press into worship this morning and just allow God to take what has been spoken this morning and allow His Holy Spirit to speak to you today?